I too would like to greet each of you this morning in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Adam mentioned that we've been serving the Lord in Ukraine. It's been a little over 5 years since God called us there. And it's been a blessing. And yet, I would do an injustice to stand here and say, you know, everything's just been great. Life's not like that. We're in a battle. And we praise the Lord that we know who the victor in the battle is. But Jesus asks us to stay with Him in the battle, to share in His victory. We have a tradition in our churches toward the end of the service, before we close the service, whichever brother's moderating, we'll ask, does anybody have any greetings to share? And it's a time when brethren and sisters who have been visiting here or there, they may say, greetings from the church in Bettis Yanka, or greetings from Brother Pete Peters, or wherever. And before we came over here, quite a few of the brethren and sisters said, when you go back to America, take greetings to this brother or this church there that they know. And then quite a few of them ended up with, and just take greetings to everyone you meet. So greetings this morning from the church in Kyiv. In our work there, I feel a little bit like Paul wrote, one planted and another watered. The church in Kyiv was founded about 22 years ago after the fall of the Soviet Union. And we were not the first ones there. Most of our members in our congregation were in the congregation before we were. And so we have come to help to water what others have labored in planting. But it's all the Lord's work, and we thank Him that He continues there. For a meditation this morning, if it's okay, would it be okay if I start with a story for the children? I'd like to tell you a story about a beautiful garden. And this garden had a big, tall fence around it. It had a high, strong gate. Many people heard about this garden, and they heard that you can come to this garden and enjoy the fruit that's in there, enjoy all the beauty that's in there. And so the day when this garden opened, many people came. They wanted to enter the garden. A youth came there to the gate, and he met a gatekeeper there. The gatekeeper told him, there's a key to open the gate. The key is a word. You say the word, and then the gate will open. And the youth thought, what could this key be? Suddenly he just knew what the word was. It had to be knowledge, because when people know things, they can do a lot. So he steps right up to the gate, and he says, knowledge. But the gate did not open, not a crack. He tried again, knowledge. Nothing happened. And the gatekeeper sadly shook his head. The word is not knowledge. Next, a big, burly, husky man came up to the gate, and the gatekeeper told him the same thing. You must say the word that is the key to open the gate. And the big, burly man thought for a little bit. Then he said, I know what it is. And he steps up to the gate, and he says, power! But the gate did not open. He steps up a little closer, and he said it louder, he shouted it, power! The gate stayed shut. He said, there's nothing better than strength, it's got to be power. So he steps up a still closer to the gate, and he pulls back his foot, and he kicks the gate as hard as he can, and he says, power! But nothing happened. Except his toes hurt really bad. The gate stayed shut, and the gatekeeper shook his head. The word is not power. Throughout the day, many people came. They tried words like greatness, success, goodness, slyness, smart, wealth, and a whole lot of others. But each time the gatekeeper sadly shook his head, the word was not any of those. Toward evening, a young girl came close to the gate with her little brother. They had walked a long ways, and they wanted to see this beautiful garden. Nobody had told them there was going to be a gate there, and they couldn't get in. They came up to the gate, and the gatekeeper told them the same thing. They must know the word to get in. The little girl was perplexed. She had no idea what word it could be. She felt like crying, but she didn't. But her little brother started crying. He was tired. He was hungry. They had come all this way. He said, "Why did we come all this way? Now we can't get in. What are we going to do?" And the girl said, "Don't cry." She knelt down next to her little brother. She said, here's the last apple we have. I'll give you it. You can eat it. Let's just wait. I don't know what to do either. Maybe we can pray. Maybe someone will show us what the word is." And the little girl had barely finished saying that. The brother and the sister heard the screeching of iron, and they looked, and they saw the gate begin to open. And the little girl looks at the gatekeeper as the gate opens, and she says, "But I didn't say the word." And the gatekeeper says, "You showed what the word is by loving your little brother. You showed the word love. That's the key to the garden." You know, there's something in us that wants to be big, that wants to be important. I know a little boy who was 8. And he said, "I'm a big fella. And when I get 9, I'm going to be a grandpa big fella." Is it okay to want to be big and important? Is that okay? I think it is. The garden in our story is a picture of life that is full of flowers, it's full of singing, it's full of good things. It's a life that brings us joy, happiness, peace. But trying to be big and trying to be important by being smart, strong, or better than others does not get us into that kind of life. There's only one way to become big and important that really works, and that is God's way. Do you know what God's way is? Do you children know what God's way is? Jesus said, if we want to be great, we must be willing to become a servant. And not just any servant, not just a servant who pattingly does what his master says because he has to, but a servant that is cheerful and looks for opportunity to do more than he's asked to do. So girls, the next time you see the sink, the counter stacked high with dirty dishes, do you want to be great? You know what to do, don't you? You lay down that interesting storybook, and singing a cheerful song, you wash those dishes before you're asked. Boys, do you want to be important? I know when evening comes, there's 100 fun things to do. But if we want to be important, let's grab the broom or the dish towel and join our sister in her song. That doesn't sound hard, does it? But there's one more thing. If we want to be really great and important, let's not do this because we want dad or mom or brother or sister to think we're great, but because we want to please God. Serving because we love God is true greatness. Now for further meditation, let's turn to the book of Luke, chapter 16, verse 15. We'll read just the last part of this verse. Jesus said, "God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God." The list of things that are highly esteemed among men is a long list. But this morning, I would like to talk about just one of them. And I really have no idea why the Lord laid this on my heart. I think maybe it's because He saw the need right here. I know almost none of you here, but I sense a kindred desire. I sense a kindred spirit. We desire to be children of God. And I understand that there are other places, other churches that we could have gone and probably would be this morning if God hadn't changed the direction of our lives. This is a young congregation. I don't know, is there any of you here, any of you adults here that can say we grew up in this church? I sense we're in this assembly this morning because at some point, somewhere, we grew tired of religion without life. We were tired of fake Christianity, of shallow Christianity, of cold Christianity. Something in here told us there's more. There's got to be something that can satisfy our deep hunger and the gnawing thirst in our souls. And we sought for it. I don't know your stories, but I know how God works. Our search was costly. It cost us pain. It cost us tears. It cost us family, friends, relationships. But it's worth it. The story of our journey is still being written. May we continue it faithfully. One of the things that God looks for in His children is a sincere heart. If we desire to serve God, sincerity of heart is of absolute importance. We love being around sincere people. Even unbelievers highly esteem sincerity. As important as having a sincere heart is, it's not enough. Sincerity is not enough. Just recently, one of our missionary friends in Honduras backed over his young child. This young father sincerely believed that this child was in the house with mother. He sincerely believed no one was behind his vehicle when he backed up. Yet his sincere belief ended in catastrophe. 2 hours north of where we live in Kyiv is a large village called Pripyat. The yards in this village are overgrown. Some streets are completely rutted, impassable. Huge empty buildings, some partly crumbled and falling down, stand against the sky. Doors, windows are missing. They're hanging haphazardly from their hinges. Except for the wind, the sound of insects, birds, or wild animals, all is quiet. No one lives there. No one has lived there for over 30 years. Yet 32 years ago, thousands of people lived there. The streets were busy. Children played in the yards and on the streets. Voices were everywhere. Because of the sincere belief of the operators of the Chernobyl nuclear plant in April of 1986 that they were doing the right thing, an explosion occurred that affected the whole world. Radioactive material from that blast rose into the air, rose into the clouds. That cloud carried that radioactive material around the whole world 3 times. And wherever it rained from that cloud, that radioactive material came down to the earth. If you visit the Chernobyl Museum today, you start by walking up a stairway. All the way up this stairway, overhead are signs hanging with the names of villages on these signs. There's hundreds of them. Every one of those villages is extinct today because of someone's sincere mistake. In the year 390, his shepherd's wife in Turkey gave birth to his son. 5 years later, the Roman Empire was divided. And the shepherd and this son Simon, became part of the Eastern Empire. Christianity, as Christianity was in those days, grew rapidly. At age 13, Simon read the Beatitudes. He developed a zeal for Christianity. By age 16, he was living in a monastery. And he became so obsessed with being righteous that he restricted his eating, his sleeping, and the use of his time until finally his fellow monks there in the monastery decided he's not fit to live with society. They asked him to leave the monastery. And for 1.5 years, Simon shut himself up in a little hut. At one period during that time, he went 6 weeks without eating or drinking anything. At another time, he forced himself to stand upright, hours and hours at a time, until finally his legs could no more hold him. Next, he moved to a little cave high up on top of a rocky mountain. But then people came. They heard about Simon. They wanted to find him. They wanted to ask him to pray for them. They wanted to ask him counsel. And he believed this robbed him of his time with God. So he decided to get away from society. He went south, close to what is Aleppo, Syria today. Simon found the ruin of ancient buildings. Maybe he thought, if he can't get away from people by going this way, maybe he can get away from them by going up. So on top of one of the pillars in the ruins, Simon built a little platform, about 3 foot square. And he lived up on there on that little platform, about 10 feet off the ground. But visitors kept coming, and Simon would talk to them. But as the visitors increased, Simon moved to taller pillars. After 7 years, his disciples built a pillar for him that was about 65 feet tall. And Simon moved atop of that tall pillar. People observed him praying. Sometimes he would stand for hours with his hands outstretched in the form of a cross. Other times he would pray by lifting his hands as high as he could and then bowing all the way down. One time, a villager decided to count how many times Simon did that repetitiously. The count stopped at 1,244 times. For 30 years, Simon stayed on top of this tall pillar. In sun, in rain, in storms, in cold, in heat, the little elevated platform without walls, without a roof, was his home. But in September of the year 459, one of his disciples climbed up there and they found his body stooped over in prayer. I see no possible way that a human being could do what Simon did without being sincere. We leave the question of Simon's eternal destiny to God. But it should be clear to us that sincerity alone is not enough to bring us life that satisfies our hunger. Only our sincere hearts lead us to loving obedience and devotion to Jesus Christ do we obtain sweet rest for our souls. It is possible to esteem sincerity, to esteem repentance, to esteem confession, to esteem bodily discipline, and a whole list of things that spirit-filled Christians do, and yet miss eternal life. Why is this so? Why do people continue to serve a dead religion? It's because of what they hope to gain personally from it, or to keep away that thing which they fear. Is it not possible to be sincere, to confess sins, to discipline our bodies for the same reason? Unless Jesus is esteemed, unless He becomes the one we desperately desire, until we are ready to sell out everything to have only Jesus, until we are ready to be His willing servant in everything, we will be left with a sense of emptiness. And I recognize that there is a sense in which our thirst on earth will never be fully satisfied. We were designed for heaven, and we're not there yet. But yet there is a sense which we can rightly say, we are fully satisfied We are fully filled in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is made to me all I need. That's my prayer for each of us. Let's not stop at anything less than loving devotion, worship, and service to Jesus Christ. Colossians 2, verses 9 and 10. Precious verses. For in Jesus dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. In Jesus Christ, and only in Jesus Christ, are we complete. May His name be praised. Amen.